Hi guys, welcome back to the Trust Your Gut podcast. This is Erica Smith and Nicole Carter bringing you all of the information that we are learning every single day in our journeys in personal health with our guts and also with our clients in gut health. So we've got a great episode for you today. Please listen in and share this episode with someone else you think might benefit from a little gut health love. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Trust Your Gut podcast. We are back with another guest today and going to be doing some talking about some exciting things with food. And I think you're going to really love this. So Erica, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Nicole. Thanks for asking. We chatted a little bit before, very short amount of time before we pressed that record button. And I'm really excited about today's show because today we have Claudia Curici on the show. And with a name like that, I don't know how you can't be an author of a book, period. But that is one of her titles under her belt. She is an author of the Living Well Without Lectins cookbook. And she's also a health coach like Nicole and I. I have followed her on Instagram since 2017 when I started my lectin-free lifestyle. And I've been inspired by all of the recipes and beautiful pictures she bombards her feed with. Her website has numerous recipes, lectin-free cooking guidelines, articles, so many helpful tips, recipes upon recipes. She has interviews, guides, meal plans, and I mean, so much more. It is an excellent website. So in fact, till this day, I always look at her vegan 5-day fasting meal plan as like a guide and inspiration when I do it every 4 months or so. Without taking any more time, Claudia, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for inviting me.
It has been one of my top priorities to get you in because you brought out that book and it was, I mean, your recipes are great. I have had lots of success not only recreating them, but also using them as base for my own personal recipes. So thank you so much for everything you've put out there and shared with the world. First of all, I'd like to start with you telling our audience a bit about yourself. Where are you from? Where do you live? Who's Claudia?
So I'm from Romania. Now I live in Denmark. But I started Creative in My Kitchen while living in Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
And before that, I lived in Dubai for 8 years.
Wow.
Before that, I lived in France. And yeah, so it's, I've been everywhere.
It's amazing. So we need to add world traveler to your title.
Yeah. Right.
I love Denmark. I lived in Denmark when I was 17 for like a summer for like 3 months. It was beautiful. Love Denmark.
Yeah. Summer in the summer is beautiful. Yeah.
Very good. So you were in Texas until recently, and then when did you get to Romania?
So we left 2 years ago from Dallas, and then we spent some time in Denmark. We spent the summers in Denmark, and then for the winter we went to my parents in Romania because it was all the COVID situation, and so yeah, it was a little bit weird, but I think it's all for the best because I got to spend so much time with my parents that otherwise would have been impossible. So
that's great. That's looking at the half glass full, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that was really good. Yeah.
Awesome. So obviously the connection between you and I came from the lectin-free sort of journey. So what brought you to the actual lectin-free lifestyle and how long have you done this for?
I always forget the year, but I think it's 2017 I started. I mean, yeah, that's the year when the book was published, right? The book was published in April and I found out about the book in July. Mm-hmm. I was approaching my birthday and I was a little bit like, you know, before our birthdays, we kind of reflect a little bit more than usual on some things. And I had some, I can't say I had health problems, but I was starting to gain some weight, and you know, the usual
aging effects, as they call them.
Exactly, that's what the doctors were saying, right? It's normal. So
yeah,
it was
maybe
late. I was in my late 30s, so yeah, that kind of, you
body
know,
aches like you,
right?
All the time extra pounds you didn't think of,
exactly,
maybe some.
And it's like inflammation and that kind of stuff. That and at the same time, I was a healthy eater, so I wasn't someone who was, you know, crazy and like doing all. I had a yoga practice, like a daily yoga practice, and so I was like doing all these things, but at the same time I didn't feel like an improvement, or I just felt like every 3 months I had to buy a new pair of jeans, kind of, you know, which is yeah, it's not, and it's not like, I like to say that sometimes it looks like it's about weight, but not really. It's about like noticing that something is different with you, and as usually the first sign you see, it's the weight. Especially as a woman, you kind of notice, because if you can't wear a pair of pants that you used to love, then it's kind of like, okay, what's happening here?
It's easy to focus on the weight, right? And I think Erica and I are both saying the weight is a symptom of another issue.
Exactly. Yeah. But somehow, I mean, I'm grateful for that, because that's how I saw. And actually, no, I was ignoring that. I didn't want to weigh myself. But then I went to a consultation with the doctor, and you know, then you have to weigh yourself. Like, it's part of the.
Yeah.
Thing, right? So then when I saw, like, it was the heaviest I've ever been, like, since forever. So I was like, oh my god, I just, what's happening here? So that was kind of a wake-up call. And then I started to read a little bit. No, I started to kind of be open, because I never done a diet before. I was just like, you know, eating like everything in moderation kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Right? So I started to be open to this kind of things. And then this interview with Dr. Stephen Gundry came up on my Facebook feed.
Okay.
And then it just caught my attention.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even aware what paleo is, or I've never been into diets or all that. So I didn't know. So just suddenly this kind of, it was something about what if healthy foods are making you sick, or something along those lines. And I knew I was eating kind of healthy, or at least I was trying. So I was like, okay, maybe something I'm doing is not right. So then I read the interview that was in Goop. And I was like, I ordered the book. And then the book was delayed. And
oh, no.
It just, like, it got lost. So I received a message from Amazon saying that it got lost. And they asked me if I want a reimbursement. And you know what I thought at that time? I was like, oh, it's okay. That means it was not meant to be. Like,
oh my goodness.
It's just like, anyway, this diets, you know, I don't care about diets. So, and then Amazon reimbursed me, and kind of the second day I got the book.
Oh, wow.
Somehow it just showed up. So I was like, okay, this is a sign. So I have to, yeah. So I couldn't put it down. I guess you know the feeling. Like, I was just so mind blown with everything I was reading. I was just like, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, it's been sort of proven that weight is sort of a symptom of being sick. You know, people are sick first, and then they become overweight, or then they gain weight. And the reason why they know that is because 20% of the population who's overweight is not metabolically unhealthy, right? So the weight is just sort of a sign. And while it's great to lose it, it's not so much because you're losing the weight, but because you're returning that metabolic flexibility and becoming healthy again. So I think that's really important to mention. I always say that because, you know, this is about health, and Nicole and I are very strongly standing for that what we speak of is to make you healthier, to make you live for longer with no issues. So what, after you started this diet, which is interesting that you had never really thought about dieting in the past. What are like maybe three major changes that you noticed pretty soon after you started?
I mean, obviously the weight just melted off. So, but I think, you know, speaking of weight, isn't as much as weight. For me, I think there was a lot of water retention. So I was swollen kind of. So I don't think it was, there was fat also, but it was a lot of liquid. Like I just felt stuck, like in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I lost like 3 kilograms or something like that. So it was very, and I could feel like I could see myself that I wasn't swollen anymore. So weight loss was the first, first thing that happened. Yeah, for sure. And then the most important for me, and actually the one that convinced me that this is working, it was, 2 weeks after I started, I had a job. I was doing photography at the time. I was at a yoga conference and my period was supposed to come. And all my life I had this like super painful periods and like horrible. I had to be in bed and I couldn't do anything around that time. And if I had to do something, I had to take like ibuprofen and all those, like, you know. And I was so nervous, and I knew Dr. Gundry said, like, don't take any of those pills. And I was like, okay, what am I going to take for this pain? So I was looking for alternatives, like, you know, natural medicine. I bought a few stuff. And then I remember I was at this yoga conference taking pictures, and my period came, and I didn't have pain, which is amazing. For the first time in my life, and like, what, I was 37 at the time?
Yeah.
For the first time in my life. That was crazy for me. I was okay. And I did not expect this. I never thought that diet could have an impact on that kind of stuff. Not even in a million years. So, yeah.
I think as a woman, I mean, you can fit nice in your jeans. Your face isn't puffy anymore. You look rested and you're period pains are gone. I mean, throw it all up in the air. I'm good.
Right?
I'm signing
Can we get
up.
Any better?
Right. And you know, when people ask me, like, why do you do this? I'm like, okay, that's obvious. I never want to go back to the way I used to feel for like a week, a month before. So, no. I mean,
so 5 years after that, going sort of along with that question, you know, are you noticing any other changes still, or maybe something that's come up within the last year that you've noticed that's been better with that? I think you and I are sort of on the same boat in that sense that, I mean, I had plenty of things that were wrong, but nothing was medically on the book sort of stated, right? But there was definitely a lot of things that weren't driving me to a healthy state, and I didn't feel healthy. I didn't feel good. But people will still ask me, like, okay, well, you're so skinny and you're good. Like, why not go and go back to eating the burgers and the ice cream and all of the stuff and sleep in and forget about seeing the sun. So for you, what are those things that maybe are keeping you there?
You mean they're keeping me
with your healthy lifestyle?
So why I don't give up?
Yeah, but why don't you give up?
Because I'm aware of, now I know so much about the human body, and I know so much about my body. And I'm aware that if I will change that, I would not feel, and it's not only about how I feel right now, but I also do this for longevity, for not in the sense that I want to live like 200 years, but like in the sense that as long as I live, I want to be functional. Like, I don't want to be someone who don't have their brain function, like someone who can walk, someone who, you know, I want that quality of life. And I know that, I mean, I know that's the only way you can achieve that. So
I agree.
That doesn't mean I'm like, you know, like if there is an opportunity for me to do something that is not exactly in line with this. You know, now I'm more relaxed, I'm more flexible. I know what to do if I eat something. I also know that, you know, it's not like you ate something and suddenly you just, you know, you
everything can't goes down the drain, right?
No, it's not like that. It's, at least it's not for me. So, but yeah, just staying.
I agree. I think that a lot of times, you know, there it is okay to step away from the, you know, you can't go into every situation and expect everybody to, you know, have the same cooking procedures or cook with the same ingredients. And there are times where you step away. For me, yes. I mean, do I become sick out of having 3 days out of the way I eat? No, I don't become metabolically sick, but I do have things that come out of that. I have rashes that appear on my skin. My sleep is not quite the same. You know, I do have things that pop up from eating a certain way. My stomach gets upset if I eat the wrong things, right? So, but no, it's not like I become sick out of having those things. And so, yes, like you say, it's okay to step out of those lines at some point. And you are aware when you've done it for so long, you know what's coming and you know what to do.
Yeah.
Charcoal pills always help.
I don't feel like, I feel like it's very important not to have this, I mean, not to get to the other extreme, like where you have food fears, and because I haven't been there luckily, but I've been close. So I know that it can go the other way, and I don't think that's okay either. So we just have to, plus, you know, with all this lifestyle and traveling and, you know, going and visit friends and family, and you know, there's always ways to, like, I do not get stressed about these things, because if I did, I mean, that defeats the purpose of wanting to be healthy. So
I agree. The shift happens at the beginning in terms of getting yourself back to a healthy lifestyle, and then you kind of shift from there. How do you feel about that, Nicole? Do you feel like how often do you step out of bounds, let's just say?
Well, for me, not very often. However, because of the hormone situation, I will eat, like, I typically don't eat a whole lot of carbohydrates, but I will eat them maybe mid-cycle to help progesterone production and to help me sleep, because that's my big challenge. So every couple weeks, I'll eat something out of the ordinary. Like a couple nights ago, I had potatoes, a plate of potatoes with my fish and shrimp. So that's a little bit unusual for me. But yeah, I mean, we definitely see the change, right? Like for me, it's a whole bunch of water retention the next day, but I slept like a queen. So I'm okay with that. But yeah, I feel like most people do ebb and flow a little bit through their dietary practices. And, you know, we kind of change a little bit as we go, you know, our physiology does change a little bit. And so maybe our needs change a little bit. And so maybe we intuitively change a little bit. That's my thought.
Great. Yeah. So for everybody who's new around, first of all, thanks. And, you know, just as a reminder, Nicole actually came to this health journey in a different route than I did. She had ulcerative colitis, and she healed through carnivore diet, which is not something that I am ever sort of walking the line in. But, you know, we're both trying to find the healthiest way to maintain that quality of lifestyle that Claudia spoke about a few minutes ago. And we have families and we have our situations. And like she said, you change, you age, there are different needs. And with that said, you have your husband, he follows the lifestyle as well?
No, he doesn't, in the sense that, like, how can I say, he eats what I cook. We eat together, we cook together. So most of the time without knowing, I mean, he knows very well what I'm doing and he knows everything right now, but just like, it's not something, and it came with time. Mm-hmm. So he was very supportive of me, but it was never like, oh, I'm also going on this diet. So, but now it's, you know, he's much healthier because of that. And, but yeah, if he goes out and he gets something like a burger or from a place, yeah.
Yeah. So I think a lot of times I'll get questions from women that are like, well, how do I do this when my husband, you know, he's not going to stop eating the cereal or he's not going to stop doing that. And I like to bring that up because we're all sort of on the same boat, right? We do our thing and then eventually people sort of climb up on the board. And even at, like you said, even if your husband doesn't 100% go there, he's eating at least two, maybe three meals, depending on what household, out of what you're cooking. So, you know, you share the wealth on that sense. And once they start feeling better, they probably will make less choices on the other side.
Yeah, that's different. I mean, he's aware of everything, that even if he chooses to eat something, he knows, you know, what it does. And I think this is one of the, you're right, a lot of people don't start because they think, oh, but it's impossible to do it if my husband doesn't do it or my kids or, but I'm just saying, like, start anyway, because they will, you know, eventually. I mean, it took 5 years, but I don't care. Like, I mean, it's, you live this life, like, it's not a race, right? I mean, but with time, his lifestyle improved, his diet improved, because in our home, it's only, you know, the food that I store is the food that I eat, right? And then there is like maybe a little things here and there, but like nothing major. And then if we go somewhere out, he will eat whatever, but still he knows how to make the better choice.
Very good. How about you, Nicole?
Well, I was actually wondering if I live at home alone with my daughter. So for me, it's pretty easy. But my partner and I eat the same foods. So that's not an issue for me, but I'm fine with eating whatever, you know, eating a little separate from my family. And my daughter is a night owl. She eats super late. So we tend to not eat at the same times and not eat exactly the same foods. But I was wondering, Claudia, if you're talking about with your families and foods you keep around, do you want to give an example for our listeners of maybe what one of your go-to meals is?
Oh, that's very hard because since I'm a recipe creator, it has to always be different. But also I'm the type who likes to eat different things all the time. Mm-hmm. Even if I like something, I would eat it once, twice, but then I just need something new. And that helps, probably that's why this works for me, because I'm curious to create new dishes, new. But then we have things we like every season, and also depending on where we live. Because we love to go to the farmer's market and to eat the local foods. And for example, we love in the summer in Denmark, somehow we really love everything that is like a tabbouleh kind of salad. We make it with millet and hemp seeds. And then, of course, we don't use tomatoes and cucumbers, but I have a recipe. We use a lot of parsley and chives and pomegranate. And so olive oil, olives, and then we do a little bit of meat next to it. Like it can be chicken kebabs, or it can be lamb, or it can be even steak or tacos, kind of ground beef style. So that's something we both really love. And yeah.
Okay. Nice. That sounds delicious, right?
Yeah. That sounds great.
Mm-hmm. And we eat a lot of salads all the time. Whatever, there's always a big salad, no matter what. So
obviously author is underneath your titles of things that you do, but had you ever written a recipe book before this one?
No.
It's amazing. I commend you on it. I mean, really.
I was the type who would never write down anything. And I would just wing the recipe. So even if I looked at the recipe, I'll be like, oh, yeah, fine. And then I'll just put like as much as I want. And then it was very, Actually, when I started the Plant Paradox, I was starting to cook this different recipes. And I started my Instagram account because I would realize that I cooked something I liked, and then in 3 days, I had no idea what it was.
Oh.
So I'm like, okay, I need to make that again, but what was it? So it was very hard. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to start an Instagram account, and I'm going to keep like the picture and like a little bit about the dish. Mm-hmm. So I can remember. So that's why I started my Instagram account. Yeah.
Very fun. Very fun. And from there you got a book. I mean, how hard was it to write a book? Because it's still on my dream to-do list. So what's it going to take for me to do this?
I don't know. First, the publisher.
Okay, publisher, check.
Right. Yeah. Actually, I didn't really plan. I mean, well, after I started my Instagram, I said, you know, never say never. But I am the kind of person who always says like, oh, I'll never make a website. I don't like websites. Like, I'll make a book. That's what I said at that time. I'm more like old style. And then, but then more followers came and a lot of people were asking me for recipes, and it's very hard to share from Instagram. You know how it is. Yeah. Like, you have to go down and then I realized I need a website. So I started the website, and then like 2 years after that, I think 2 years, 1 year and a half, a publisher contacted me to write the book. So that kind of came naturally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then you have.
And what it takes, I don't know. It takes, I mean, a cookbook is not really like it's not like another type of book, right? Where like a novel or. So you just have to have a lot of content, a lot of recipes. It's good if you can take the pictures yourself. Yeah. It helps.
Which was a bonus for you because you have photographer under your belt as well.
Right. And I wanted to, I mean, I was never too good at food photography because it's just a kind of a different type of photography. But I took it as an opportunity to develop this kind of photography style. So
your pictures are great. Your colors on your food are always great. I think we always eat with our eyes first and foremost.
Yeah.
And I believe that. Yeah. It's important. And I think one of the things I like about the changes that I've made in my diet through this has been that, I mean, there's a lot of green on my plate. I will admit to that. Mm-hmm. But there's also like a lot more other colors and shapes of foods that weren't in there when I was growing up. And it's just, it's very pretty. And I absolutely love that about it. So many vegetables out there in the world. So what tricks do you have for living this lifestyle? What has helped you the most? Is it menu planning? Is it reading multiple books? What have you found that has been making it easier for you to keep up with it?
I think it's having an open mind, to be honest, and staying curious, and don't take this as a restriction. You know, it's not, I do not consider I restrict myself. On the contrary, I go with, I'm so excited. Like for me, food, like food in the real form, right? It's like every time I go to a supermarket or farmer's market, I was like, oh my God, this is new. I want to try this. I want to cook with it. I want to search cookbooks and see and on internet and see what people make with this. I'm interested in culture food, like
what's like, typical in Denmark or in Romania.
Exactly. I think that's very important. Like,
I think that you recently were talking about nettle leaves, and they must be pretty popular where you're at. Nobody uses nettle leaves, but that's definitely
in Romania,
Nicole uses nettle leaves.
In Romania are very popular and you find them everywhere, but they're also popular in Denmark. I think you just have to pick them yourself, and it's kind of like, but
not in
yeah.
America. They are not popular around here. You know, it's not something that even in the farmers markets. Do you find nettle leaves, Nicole, in your farmers market?
I have once before in San Diego. And for those listening, nettle leaf is, you might also know it as stinging nettle, and the reason she cringed about it is because when you pick it, it can sting your hands. It has formic acid in the leaves. But I think it's hard to find, but I know that in the Pacific Northwest, it's much more common. And in some of the northern latitude, which is probably climate-wise, very similar to Denmark.
Very cool. Yeah. So, and we use nettle leaf. I use nettle leaf tea and I use it for detoxification and all that stuff. So
yep.
I don't have the actual nettle leaves here that I mess with, but okay.
You also find powder, nettle powder. Yeah. If you want to use that. Yeah.
So you've had a book, you have your website that you said you were never going to make. You've got traveling under your belts. Do you have any fun future plans that you know of, maybe opening a restaurant?
Actually, there's another book coming.
Okay.
Yeah. So we are working on it right now. But no, restaurant, you know, it's very hard because it's a very location related thing, right? So you have to be that kind of person that lives in the same place all the time and doesn't plan to move, and you have a community around you that's you wanna. Well, I mean, I'm much happier to reach a very big community worldwide, which would be impossible with a restaurant, right? So that's, I kind of need to focus on my ways to do that, which is obviously the internet and does online.
Okay, so Claudia was not the one, but I'm gonna keep searching because we need more restaurateurs that do this so that people can go out and feel comfortable with what they're eating. And if I ever get the courage to do this, then I will definitely contact you and maybe you can help me set up the menu.
Definitely. I just recently had someone in New York contacted me. They just opened a restaurant that is plant paradox friendly. So I have an article on the website with plant paradox restaurants in New York, and then tips on how to eat out. So I mean, and in general, everywhere I've been, like if you go to a good restaurant, usually Italian, Greek, kind of this Mediterranean style, even steakhouses, you find what to eat. Yeah,
for sure. No, I think the Italian and the Mediterranean is really nice because their oils will likely be the right oil.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's one of the hardest parts. Yeah.
Well, Claudia, thank you so very much. Before I let you go, I have one last question. And the reason why I always ask this question is because mental health is, in fact, extremely important for society to work properly. And our gut microbiome is very, very connected to our mental health. And so I want to make sure that everybody out there has ways to de-stress and maybe laugh a little bit to bring about some of that calmness. And so I ask you, what is it that makes you laugh uncontrollably? That's an awkward question you could get on a podcast.
Right, yeah. I mean, usually I cannot say what it is because it's usually stupid things I see on the internet or something stupid that someone says. So yeah, I mean, animals usually make me laugh. Like I love cats and dogs, and so when I see them being like, you know, silly, or that makes me laugh. Yeah.
Very good. So outer character actions from animals will be definitely what'll get Claudia going. That's great. I think it's amazing that you can find something too that is not attached to a lot of things that you can just kind of go to if you're having a bad day. You know, you can always, that's where social media is actually kind of nice, right? Because you can always go and scroll and find your happy for even just 5 minutes, and that will extend and be positive for the rest of your day.
Right. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on today, Claudia.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. It was very nice talking to you.
Yeah. In the show notes, we're going to have plenty of places where you can find Claudia. So make sure that you check her out. Like I said in the beginning, her website is really amazing. If you're looking to just start this, there's a really, really good base on what to do and how to do it, and plenty of fun, exciting recipes to try out. So So check her out.
All right. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you soon.
Thank you. Bye.